going to share this, and I liked what Tom responded. He goes, yes, you're totally, because I said I'm shameless that I'm like teasing this and like leaving a cliffhanger. But I couldn't stop, like, I was so excited to share it, and I had to wait like all week to share with you guys what the Lord had done. And so I love what Tom said. He goes, you're shameless, but I like it. So many of you know that we are here, you know, by the good graces of Coolwater Christian Church, and we love them, and we are so grateful, and they believe in nesting a church. And in the process of being here, they've had to navigate their people and their congregation allowing a church to nest, and that's kind of a process for them. So we had negotiated in our contract to have signs out front all the time, letting people know that we're here, you know, because that's what people do, right? When you're here, and like, so that people know to show up. And so we've been excited about getting those signs up. And in the process of wanting to honor and care for their people who are in transition, you know, about letting another church use their facility, we have held off on putting those signs up. And that's been challenging for me, not for Greg.
No, you don't not
care.
At all.
He doesn't care. But I'm thinking, we're just starting out and we need to grow, and people don't know that we're here unless, you know, there's a sign out front. So when our signage got delayed again, I went to the Lord and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you have to say about these signs? And I was irritated with him about the signs, I'll be honest with you. I know, I was like, it's time. Whoever's timer that was, like, genius, perfect timing. And so I asked the Lord, I said, what's the deal with the signs? And he said, well, he goes, instead of like trying to solve your problem, what if I could just have people come to the property who would just show up, not even knowing why they were there, on Saturday night at the right time, and they'd find out that you're having a service, and they would come in because I would send them. And I was so mad, and it was so preposterous, right? Is that not the most ridiculous? This is the solution we're going with. This is the solution we're going with. This is the anti-solution. This is so stupid of a solution. And so I was like, you know what? If that's what you're telling me is like the challenge that you're going to put before me, then game on. I'm all in on that. That is so ridiculous that I double dog dare you to do that while we're still in the process of navigating whether or not and when we're going to have these signs. And so, you know, I said, that's it. You know, like, that's what he does. Like, he challenges me to ask him to have the faith to believe for something that he wants to do. And then I double dog dare him to do it. And then he does it, and he blows me away. So these are the things that are happening in our lives. And so last week, many of you know that Chrissy and Dan were out in the parking lot, and a couple pulled up, and they said, hey, we just wanted to check out and see what time the church services were. And Dan and Christy said, well, you know, Coolwater Christian owns this property. Their service is in the morning. We're not sure when those are. I think it's on the sign. But we're a different church that is nesting here, and our services are right now. And so they asked Christy and Dan a couple more questions, which apparently, from what I understand, you guys didn't have the answers for.
They were the right
answers. But they were the right. And so the people said, thank you very much. And they pulled out. And then they pulled back in, and they said, will you talk us into it? Apparently with not having any of the answers to the questions that they had.
They said apparently you had all the right answers.
Sweet, right? So Eileen and Jeff, who were here last week, showed up in the parking lot at the right time and decided, after not getting any answers to any questions, that they would come and check out what God was doing. Now, I didn't know that. So when they came up for ministry time afterwards last week, I said, hey, who was it that invited you? And then they shared this story. And I'm about to have a heart attack because I'm going, you know, Lord, you're starting to mess with my head. But I love the way you mess with my head. Because he goes, you know, you could do signs, or we could just do miracles. Signs, wonders. Yeah, we could do signs or we could do wonders, right? I knew the joke thing was going to come in somewhere. But it wasn't that good, was it?
No, it wasn't.
I liked it.
Thank you. I get one vote.
And I
realized
it was church joke laughter. I mean, let's be honest.
It was, really was. There wasn't even a golf clap that went with it, to be honest. No. Okay. So, yeah, not now. It's too late now. You missed it. I realized that this is so the story of our lives, that sometimes we're asking the Lord about something, and we're asking and we're asking, we're asking, we're asking, and sometimes we're not hearing. Because what he'd really like to do is exchange our idea of a solution for a miracle. And he goes, I'd really like to do something different. If you would allow me to step into this situation, let me flip your world right side up. Let me shift the way you see everything and do something that so astonishes you and so knocks you over that you realize, like, I'm really a big God. And I really do care about you. And I really do care about what I'm doing in your life and about what you're doing in mine. And I love living this life with you. And so when Jeff and Eileen came up, I said, you know, who brought you? They told me, you know, like, we just showed up in the parking lot and we decided we'd come in. Seriously? And I said, well, that's so cool. Apparently you're looking for a church. And they said, oh, yeah, we've been at this other church for a lot of years, and our kids grew up there, but we're ready for something different. We want to go on an adventure. What? And those of you who know me know that is our word. Like, this is, it almost was, Desert Adventure Church. The DAC, the DAC, instead of the DOC, instead of the DOC. And so that is the word that the Lord has given us, is let's go on this adventure. We're not going to implement a plan. We're going to create a new thing together. Mm-hmm. And here are people who showed up in a parking lot and came in because they're interested in going on an adventure with God. What? So I feel like what the Lord is wanting to utterly prove to us, to convince us, is that he is the kind of God that flips all of this world's solutions into the miraculous. Because I remember when Jesus was preaching, and there was a whole bunch of people that were hungry, and the disciples said, what do we do? And he said, feed them. And they're like, we don't have enough money. And he said, well, what do you have? Take what you have, and let me multiply it. But here was the coolest thing. He handed it to them, and they multiplied it in their hands too. And so when God does a miracle in our lives, it's not just him entering into doing something amazing with us. It's him inviting us into the miraculous ourselves. And it transforms us too. And so when he said to them, you feed them, it wasn't this, you do something that's totally impossible. It was, hey, you do this. Oh, wait, let me do it with you. Because he so loves to jump in with us and do these amazing things together. Right? So, anybody had a challenging week this week? Just a few? And others not? Yay, Eli, you had a challenging week. I'm sorry, dude. So, it was pretty stressful. I felt such a tremendous pressure. Dan's like, what's there to be stressed about? Hey, life can be stressful. Sixth grade, I'm there. Eighth, I'm sorry. Sorry. Sister, not you. Sorry, my mistake. Rob McGregor was who I was in love with in sixth grade. I know how stressful. Is she in seventh? Okay, I don't know her at all. I don't even know who you guys are. What are you doing here? Did you show up in the parking lot today too?
Yes. Just
trying to get out of the rain.
I didn't know she was a seventh. Wow. I'm embarrassed.
You should be.
I know, right? It won't last for long, but it's okay. All right. Sorry, dude. On to James. Something I might know something about. Let's give that a go. This whole like personal audience interaction thing, we gotta nip this at the bud. It's not working. Let's try a new tact.
Where was James 2?
We're in James 2. We made it to James 2. Woo-hoo! We're going to go halfway through, and next week we're going to finish James 2, and it is, I'm jazzed. Yeah, I know you're like, she said those things before, but she was a liar. But I'm not a liar tonight.
We're going to go by verse by verse.
week.
Yeah. Okay, so Greg, we get in the car, and then we talk about what happened at church. Do you guys do that? Get in the car, and you talk about what happened. So the first couple of times we were here, what we talked about what happened was all the bad things, which weren't actually that bad. But, you know, when you're, like, trying to make sure that somebody else's property doesn't get destroyed, you know, you can freak out a little bit. Then we decided we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We get in the car, and we talk about all the good things that God was doing. It's a totally different conversation. It's as if it's a totally different experience. Right? Isn't that the way with Scripture? I mean, you know, the enemy has a perspective on Scripture, and the Lord has a perspective. And when we partner with the Lord, boy, doesn't it just change the entire scenario? So does. So last week we were driving home, and we were, I didn't like the way you did, you know, the verses or the Scripture for James, which was genius, by the way. Thanks for that. He said it was too much to do one chunk and do one chunk, and he's like, it was like, I know what you were saying in there, but it was too much.
I didn't even know what you were saying in there.
You didn't know. Okay. That's what happens when I speak for you. I don't get it right. Yeah, you're supposed to have a witty comeback to that.
I don't have witty comebacks to that.
Okay. So he said, let's go verse by verse, which I thought was genius.
Yep. Verse by verse. All right, dig in. Let's go.
Because what James is doing, it is talking about, let's turn solutions into miracles. Solutions come by the works of our hands. Solutions are often what we have to perform into. But miracles are based on how things really are in the Lord's perspective. It is a God who has more than enough speaking into an atmosphere of poverty and flipping it right side up, and proving to humanity who we really are and what this world is really all about. And that's what James is doing, is he's flipping the lens so that we can see the world and ourselves as we really are. So I'm gonna ask you, go to your phones or to your Bibles, and we're gonna do verse by verse, James 2, and see how this works this week. I love that we have the freedom to try these different things. It's so good. Okay. So James 2, I'm in New King James, but you can pick whatever version you like. So for those of you who don't know this, what I did was I spent a bunch of years in James, and I knew that what I was reading on the surface wasn't really what the Lord meant, because if it was, then James is just a book on how to live the Christian life, which is like not been successful for any of us. And so surely that can't be the life that Jesus Christ died for. The life that he died for is for us to recognize who we truly are. And so there must be a different way to read James. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, could you teach me how to read this differently? And I felt like he did. And then after 5 years, he gave me Francois from South Africa, who's been studying this for over 25 years. And his version is very similar to mine, which was such a gift because it actually is based on research and not just relationship. Yay! So those two things kind of came together and those worlds collided. But I'm going to share with you what I wrote. So he says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should be someone who comes into your assembly, a person with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should become a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in the good place, but you say to the poor person, you stand, you know, over there or sit at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality and become judges with evil thoughts? So kind of the takeaway is, what? What's the takeaway on that? We're a small group, we can see this. What's the takeaway on that? Right. Pretty much. And what I grew up with was, don't judge based on appearances. And if you do judge, you're evil. Pretty simple, right? Don't judge. If you do, it's evil. So I'm going to give you my version. Close friends that tell jokes to each other. Let me encourage you from the place of our closeness and our relationship. I encourage you, don't hold back the goodness of God that is in you with anyone. get it? Don't hold back the goodness that you have within you with anyone. Because the goodness of God that is in you is not a limited supply. So let it flow freely to those who appear wealthy and well-connected and to those who appear poor and needy. Allow the source of your response to come from your partnership with God and your true self. It's that shift of seeing somebody as being able to give you something versus seeing yourself as an unlimited supply of goodness. If you see someone who appears to have resources and another person who does not, and you treat them differently, let me tell you a secret. Your behavior has revealed a hidden agreement that some people have more value than other people based on this world system. Recognize that this agreement is against you, and it does not come from the Lord. Judging and evil thoughts are not the same thing. Did you catch that? Judging and evil thoughts are not the same thing. This is a revelation that your assessments of people can have an evil source, and they're not in line with your true self. So just because you assess something doesn't make it evil. And if you get roped into thinking that one person can give you something or is more worth your attention, you have been tricked into thinking that people's value is based on this world system rather than the value of who God made them to be. And you will limit yourself. You yourself will be limited in your ability to interact with them and to enter into what God's doing in that relationship. Right? So let me tell you another secret and lean in close. Oh wait, I have to go back to regular James. Hang on. Regular James. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So, I was always taught that means like you should be super happy when you're poor. And if you're rich, you're probably bad. It doesn't mean that. I mean, you know, but that's what I was taught. So, he says, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into their courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you will do well. But if you show partiality, you commit a sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all of it. Yikes. So, any thoughts? Joss is like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Right? So, it's, you know, on the surface, it seems to say, hey, rich people oppress poor people, which is not entirely true, but it's not entirely not true either. I mean, think about the world economy and what's happening in the world economy. That is what happens often. And he's going, so don't get your, you know, self pulled around by those who may oppress others. But if you show partiality, it's going, hey, dude, this is a sin. You'll do well if you love your neighbor as yourself. And realize that this is an important point. I have always read this as this is the how-to. Good news is, it's not, right? Because otherwise, we're just listening to a bunch of, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't. And how many of us feel super inspired by that? It's not inspiring, it doesn't, and how many of us are empowered by that? We walk away from it and go, I am different. You know what? I'm different, I see differently. That doesn't usually happen. So we have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit to hear what's really in this, because what's in this is one of the best secrets. It's so good. So let me tell you a secret. Lean in close. God has chosen to value us much differently than this world system. His value is based on our original design, and he has a plan for all of us who want to live in it. Don't let the attractiveness of the successes and the rules of this world system trap you into dishonoring any person.
Yes.
You were made to be able to lay aside all such trivial means of assessment and measure and release with fullness, without limit or restriction, the love of God and the goodness of the kingdom to every person you come in contact with. Here's another secret. This flow of goodness is your true natural self. It will actually take effort on your part to stop it. If you find yourself doing this, showing partiality or assessing people based on successes in this world system, then you'll find yourself pulled into a limited and poverty-based mindset that will hurt you. Now, I know this might sound trivial, but it isn't. This old mindset, that's called the law, by the way. This old mindset, it can press on you. And it doesn't take huge actions like murder to cause it to press on you. So let the fullness and abundance of God overwhelm you in every way. Don't be sucked into a limited existence and the brutal effect of condemnation that's based on performance. Be free from that. Be free from that whole matter by allowing God, in his loving kindness, to separate away from you everything that is not your true self and not your true thoughts. What he's saying is that kind of thinking that sucks you into trying to please people. Anybody ever get sucked into trying to please people? Anyone ever have that happen? And how does it turn out? We find ourselves less. We find ourselves robbed from. We find ourselves unsatisfied in those relationships. We find ourselves always aching for an affirmation. It's what James is going, I have a secret for you. If you find yourself sucked into the atmosphere that the enemy has pushed on this earth, which is that some people have more value than other people, you have lost your true identity, which is to see others and yourself as you truly are. If you say yes to Jesus, that mirror showing you who you really are, you will be able to meet every single person and see them the way God sees them. And in your view, your agreement with God will release for them to become who God made them to be. Right? It shifts that whole system right side up. And it means there are no haves and have-nots. And it means there are no victors and victims. It shifts that entire system so that we can start living in our real identity, which is the value God placed in us when he dreamt us up to begin with. Can you imagine everybody in your family? I mean, think about your family members right now. Think about them. Think about how messed up they are and how unmessed up you are. Nobody laughed at that. Seriously? Okay, wow, really? Think about your family members. And think about what their life would be like if they saw themselves the way God sees them. It would be so much easier. Think about us. What would every moment of my day be like if I was utterly confident in everything I did, every moment of every day, knowing that I am tied to the magnificent God of the universe who is so for me and is so with me and delights to live every moment with me? How would I think? How would I act? How would my life be different if I had that perspective? Well, that's what's happening is we're all starting to have this lens change where our literally our brain is shifting in its ability to perceive ourselves and to perceive other people. So good. Yes, Eli. What doesn't remind us of an analogy of the Matrix, right? Every good revelation can be tied to the Matrix. I kid you not. Yeah. Instead of the facade. See? It was good. Dan's like, oh yeah, that's my boy. It was really good. For those who are joining us on audio, Eli was sharing about the Matrix and people seeing the code behind the facade, and that was them seeing like the real world and not, right, being caught with the illusion. Yeah, the deeper. Right, not just what you're meant to see. We get to have those like red pill, blue pill moments with the Lord where we say yes, and he goes, if you say yes to an invitation to see people as I really made them, it will be really good, but your life will never be the same. It will be really good, but your life will never be the same. And I say yes to that every single day. I want to walk up and everyone I see them the way he sees them. Right? See, honey, how loved you are? That's the alarm going off, giving me my 5-minute warning. And we're so on time. Be freed from this world system and the whole matter by allowing God to separate everything from you that is not really you. Isn't that what holds us back? Is it just a belief about us that we're less than who God really made us to be? His view of us separates light from dark and frees us to live in the light. I'll say it again. His view of us separates light from dark. And by the way, we're the light. Because we come from him, we were made by him, and he said we were good, and we are good, and he said we are children of light. So he separates. Judgment is the process of separating and showing us who we really are. So his view of us separates light from dark and frees us to live in the light and to be the light. I first started to understand that this didn't just work with people, because many of you know our story with Darby and learning how to see her as God made her to be instead of just the autism. It freed us to start to see other people in our lives the way God really made them and not how they were behaving. But it also affected things in this world system, like, you know, signs and churches apparently. And my first exposure to one of these experiences was when we were selling our house in Florida. And we hired a really great real estate agent, and she had shown us a packet of all the things that she was gonna do. And she had this awesome brochure. Anybody like a super visual person and they like awesome brochure? I am a fan of the awesome brochure. Like, you don't even have to be selling something and I'll want an awesome brochure about it. Like, I like pictures, I like pretty words, I like it all lined up. Like, right? I'm a fan of the brochure. Like, I would like to make brochures about myself. Just, that's how much I like brochures. Like, I just like it. So I wanted a really nice one, you know? So it was in our contract that I was gonna get a really nice one. And then she put them into our box, you know, out in front of our really nice house. In my opinion, it was a two-income house, so it was a really nice house. And it was not the four-color glossy brochure that I had been promised. It was instead like a 1980s clip art flyer with about 12 typos. Yeah, and I was like horrified and embarrassed and going, there's like typos, and if I can catch a typo, there's gotta be like 50 more, because I'm superly not a great grammatical person. Like, Greg knows this. It's really bad. He used to help me in college with grammar, and it's still bad, right? I know. I think it's one of those things you learn as a kid, and then it's like you've got to have it or you don't have it. It's like a talent. So anyway, I called her up and I said, this is not the brochure you promised. This is not, you know, and it's in our contract, you know. See, what do we always want to do? We want to go to the law to get us to get what we were promised. We want to go to the system, right? And because, I mean, it makes sense. We have systems in place for that. But the Lord goes, there's something that's higher than the law. And that is my good intention for every person. But it's so good. So I called her up, and she's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that for you. And I'm like, but it's in our contract. She's like, yeah, I'm sorry. We just, you know, houses above a certain amount, a million, get that. But those under a million, they don't get that. And I'm like, but it's in my contract. And I hung up, and I was about ready to fire her. Because, like, you know, and the Lord says, well, because I asked the Lord, what do you think? And he said, well, he goes, you can get what you can get with a flyer. You can enter into this world system and sell your house in this world system. Or you could try a different thing. By the way, I don't always love when he invites me to try the other thing. It's not like, yay! Because I'm like, I want a really pretty flyer, and I just want to sell my house, and I want my neighbors to not think that I created this myself with 1980s clip art and a whole bunch of typos. Ugh! And he says, if you want what this world system can offer, you can have a super pretty, four-color, glossy brochure. Or you can ask me to sell your house. Are you in the business of selling houses? Because sometimes your time plan is not great. Like, you know, I know. So I decided, I opted for the red pill. And I said, I want game on. I want to see what you can do. I want to see what you will do. So I went to the internet to look at, you know, what was on my website, you know, because they write, put, post your house. And the description of my home was a whole bunch of characters, like X, A, exclamation point, Y, Z, question mark.
Wingdings. Think wingdings.
There was no square footage. There was no description of the rooms. There was no address. There was no phone number. I need to call my realtor and tell her that she is not doing a good job. And the Lord goes, you can. And you can have what this, or you can just ask me to sell your house. Are you on crack? So that's your thing. Thank you, Tom. So, I'm like, are you kidding? I can't call her. And you can call her. He goes, but I would love for you to exchange. I mean, he says, if you call her, she'll fix it, but she'll also feel super embarrassed and ashamed. So this is, by the way, I'm not saying this is prescriptive. Don't go do this in your situation. You have to ask the Lord what he's doing. Like, if he's not in the business of selling your house, get a good flyer. You know? Like, this only works if he's actually doing the thing that we're talking about. Otherwise, like, you're just, you know, you're challenging yourself. And, you know, that's not super fun. So, anyway, he goes, what if you could just trust me? You know? And I said, I can't trust you, but I know you can make me able to trust you. So if you give me the trust I need, I'll say yes. And so, like, you know, an hour later, he gave me the trust I needed, which just shocks me every time he does that, by the way. And I'm wrapping. And so, thank you. And so he gave me the trust I needed. Oh, and by the way, we had mold in our house, which in Florida, if you have mold in your house and you mark the little box, and we had got it completely taken care of, but the question wasn't, do you have mold? The question was, have you ever had mold? Which, by the way, in that economy, with it tanking, if you mark yes, nobody comes and sees your house. So I wanted to lie. I'll just say it. I wanted to lie. We don't currently have mold. Why do we have to admit that we ever did have mold? But I have a really great husband who will not lie on his taxes or anything else, like down to the penny. And so he's like, we're not marking it. And I'm like, okay, there goes our house. Our house is not going to sell because, one, nobody can even call. We have a really terrible flyer out front. And we've had mold. And we're competing with the builder who can give, like, way more than our house can give for the same price. So there's that. So our house sold. It was the first house to sell in 6 months, like, in the past 6 months, many houses were on the market. Ours was the first to sell for full price. They didn't even care about the mold. And in the meantime, My realtor took pity on me and created a beautiful four-color glossy brochure, which I wanted to bring. That was what I forgot at home. I wanted to drive back home and get it so that you all could see my really pretty brochure.
We still have that.
I'll probably bring it next week for show and tell.
She'll show you.
Hey.
Because we have all of them because nobody needed them.
Right. You had motorcycle. Well, yeah. That's what I'm going to tell you in a second. But you have motorcycle mufflers. I have brochures. This is how this works. You have Italian motorcycle mufflers.
I do.
I have brochures. So the brochure showed up the day that our house closed so that our people who just bought our house and signed the contract could take a color 4-page glossy brochure home of the home that they just bought. Because we never corrected the internet stuff. I never called her about it. I don't know how my house sold. We still have that hideous flyer out in the box. And we had a multi-offer deal and was the first house to sell. And how we beat out the builder, I have no idea. Because that's what the Lord does in his system. Yeah. Is he feeds 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. Sometimes in our life, we keep asking God to solve a problem. And what he really wants to do is drive us into a place where we need a miracle. Because he wants to be a God who gives us miracles. He wants to be a Father who does more for us than we can possibly imagine. So if you find that there's an area of your life where he will not talk to you and you cannot hear him, this week ask him this question. Have you been wanting to talk to me about a miracle? Have you been wanting to talk to me about something more than I could possibly believe for? And you would like to give me the faith I need to believe for it so that we can go on this adventure together and watch something unbelievable happen. So grab your index cards, because we can't leave without an index card moment. And take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about what it is that God hold on your heart tonight and what you want to talk to God about. And you can say, Lord, I just want my flyer. It's okay too. I just want my flyer. We're just going to take a moment. And then, what I'm going to ask the Lord to do is give us new eyes to see and new ears to hear and a new lens to see circumstances and people and situations in our lives differently. To see an elevated view of what it is that he's having a conversation with us about this week. And next week, what I'm hoping is that we're going to come back with a couple of stories of how God is processing this with us. So, Lord, we say yes. I say yes to seeing things as they truly are, to seeing people, places, circumstances, situations, atmospheres, finances, opportunities, relationships from an elevated perspective. We say yes, Holy Spirit, to laying down the way we've seen things up to this point, and we say yes to a new way of seeing. We say yes to your absolute joy and delight in helping us to see things differently. We say yes to you wanting. You don't want us to already have the faith for a miracle. You wanted to take us to a place where we have no faith so that you can give us more. So we don't even have to be upset that we have no faith for it, because you're like, that's not even any fun. And Lord, we say yes to a spirit of wisdom and revelation to complete the agreement that we made with you today. Amen.